1 John chapter number 4. I'm going to read a number of verses, beginning in verse number 7 this morning. 1 John chapter 4, verse number 7. Beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God. And everyone that loveth is born of God and knoweth God. He that loveth not knoweth not God, for God is love. In this was manifested the love of God toward us, because that God sent his only begotten Son into the world, that we might live through him. Herein is love, that we love God, but that not that we love God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins. Beloved, if God so loved us, we ought also to love one another. No man has seen God at any time. If we love one another, God dwelleth in him, and his love is perfected in us. Hereby know we that we dwell in him, and he in us, because he hath given us of his Spirit. And we have seen and do testify that the Father sent the Son to be the Savior of the world. Whosoever shall confess that Jesus is the Son of God, God dwelleth in him, and he in God. And we have known and believed that love that God hath to us, God is love. And he that dwelleth in love dwelleth in God, and God in him. Herein is our love made perfect, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment, because as he is, so are we in this world. There is no fear in love, but perfect love casteth out fear, because fear hath torment. He that feareth is not made perfect in love. We love him, because he first loved us. If a man say, I love God, hate his brother, he is a liar. For he that loveth not his brother whom he hath seen, how can he love God whom he hath not seen? And this commandment have we from him, that he who loveth God loveth his brother also. Let's pray. Father, thank you. Thank you for your word. Thank you for Spirit of God who dwells within us and teaches. And I pray, oh God, this morning we might be open to that teaching. Lord, that you might remove the distractions that might be upon our hearts and minds, that we might allow you to work in us. I want to thank you, Lord, for that song that just spoke to my heart. I've heard it so many times, and yet this morning it was so fresh and so vibrant. And thank you for ministering to my heart in that. I pray you might bless and work now in these moments. We ask for the anointing of your Spirit in Christ's name. Amen. There are two great chapters in the Word of God that deal with the subject of love. The other chapter we find is in 1 Corinthians and chapter number 13. And in that chapter you will find the word love is not used, but charity. And I love the fact that that word charity is used. God has a reason for that, because it expresses its giving nature. When you think about it, for God so loved he what? He gave. And so we find these two tremendous chapters. As we look here at this chapter and just go back and think about a few things before we get into the core of the message today, I believe we find this whole section begins with a request and the reason for it. Notice verse number 7. Here's the request. Beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God. And everyone that loveth is born of God and knoweth God. He that loveth not knoweth not God. God is love. The identifying mark of a believer is their love. And I believe as we will see, this love is directed toward God and to our fellow man, especially to our brethren in the Lord. And so as we have love for God, there's love for each other. I had it expressed to me so wonderfully this week about the fact that come to church because of love to be with God's people. What a blessing that is. And sometimes that's the great, that's the thing that it compels us more than anything else. How does that come about? Well, there must be a love for God that what develops that within our soul. The whole idea of love is generated, as we see here in Scripture, from God. If you notice the next couple of verses, and this was manifested, verse 9, and this was manifested, the love of God toward us, because that God sent His only begotten Son in the world that we might live through Him. Therein is love, not that we love God, but what? That He loved us and sent His Son to be the propitiation for our sins. And we find that that love is most vividly seen in His gift to you and me. And certainly we find that gift of His Son and the propitiation that comes with Him. That's a big word. It simply means that He's been appeased from His wrath. God's wrath is against our sin, but that has been appeased through the Lord Jesus Christ, what He did for us upon the cross of Calvary. Now we find that this love from God manifests itself, as we've been saying, as He says here so vividly, through us to others. Verse 11, beloved, if God so loved us, we also ought to what? Love one another. No man has seen God any time. If we love one another, God dwells in us, and His love is perfected in us. And God, what? He makes that known through others. How do people know that God loves him? Because we who are His people show our love to them. That's how it gets expressed. I've mentioned it many times, but as I was in the hospital a couple years ago, one of the things I learned was the marvelous grace of God. And I found out the grace of God comes through people. And I never saw it so vividly as before. As I saw that grace through my families, I saw it through my church, as I saw it through the medical staffs, the nurses and the doctors and all the techs and all the people who were involved. The marvelous grace of God. But at the same time, what? We see the love of God, how? As expressed through God's people. And so, you and I have a marvelous spot to be at. This is the perfecting of His love as we express it to others. Did you catch that? Verse 12, look at it again. No man has seen God any time. If we love one another, God dwelleth in us, and His love is perfected in us. Wow. Is not God's word marvelous? I mean, isn't it amazing? We stop and consider God's teaching us wonderful things here. In the next few verses, we find that our assurance in Him is with the presence of the Holy Spirit of God, who enables us to give testimony to the Savior. I'll not read those verses, but drop down with me to verse number 17. For we find there the perfecting of that love is shown through our boldness for God. Notice verse 17. Herein is our love made perfect, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment, because as He is, so are we in this world. And you and I, we have boldness in this day of judgment. Listen, this world's in an awful position. And we find the judgment of God coming upon this world, upon its citizens, all the things that are taking place, and yet we can have the boldness of God through all of that. Because God has given to us something, and that is a love that gets expressed to those who are round about us. Notice verse 18. There is no fear in love, but perfect love casteth out fear, because fear hath torment. He that feareth is not made perfect in love. Marvelous, marvelous verse. He casts away our fears. May I say, especially of people. Oftentimes we say, boy, I'd like to witness that person, but I'm just scared to. I'm afraid of what they might think. But when we really love them, it's not a fear of them. It's a love for their soul and the fact that, hey, we have something for them. But as I come to verse number 19, I come to a verse that's the shortest of all of them here in this section, and yet one that I believe is very profound. What's it say in verse 19? Read it with me, would you please? We love Him because He first loved us. Again, we love Him because He first loved us. Wow. You know, we preach against sin. We use the law of God to help people to understand they've sinned against God, that they might come to repentance. We'll stand this pulpit and preach to warn against false prophets and false doctrines that damn the souls of men. We preach on the right ways of living. But ultimately, and most importantly, we preach to help people see and love God. That's the big purpose. You can rail on everything a Christian is to do, but what is important is what they are. The love of God is the motivation of doing. It's not a matter that I have to browbeat you. It's to help you to see how much God cares for you and loves you. And listen, that becomes then that motivating factor. Listen to what it says in 2 Corinthians 5:14. It says, "For the love of Christ constraineth us." Now, there's much to be said there, but just with those words, think about it. The love of Christ constraineth us. Why do we do what we do for different people? Is it because we feel obligated? No, we do it because we love them. Because there's that heart desire, and it's a marvelous thing. Listen, you know how to make a good or a bad student into a good student? Help them know you love them. It's amazing. And because they know you love them, listen, that love begins to develop in their life, and they don't want to disappoint you. It's amazing through the years, the number of young people I've talked to that do not, some are very ornery, but they do not want to displease their mom and dad. Why? Because they love their mom and dad. They know their mom and dad loves them. The principal plan of a pastor, is one who's entrusted with a flock, is to guide people into loving God more and more. Let me say that again. Matter of fact, it's the title of my message. The principal plan of a pastor is to guide people into loving God more and more. When they have the matter, and I'll share a verse with you in a moment, they will have the motivation. In the book of Job, chapter 32, verse 18, he says, "I am full of manner. The spirit within me constraineth me." And so as we see the truth of God, see the marvels of God, we see the greatness of God, we have an awe for God, our hearts are overwhelmed by His goodness and His grace. Listen, it becomes the motivating factor. And we desire to do it. One of the greatest days is I was raising my children was to come to that spot where they no longer did it because I wanted them to, but because they wanted to. Isn't that what we raise our children for? Now, some people raise them to be puppets of theirs that they always have control over them. I think something else ought to have control, and that's the love of God. It's interesting. Jesus said this, "If a man love me, he will keep my words." Interesting. Why? Because there's motivation there. And thus, because of that, I believe that a pastor wants his flock to see some things. I'll list a few this morning. We'll take some time for that. One of those is God's creations. You ever just stop and look? Stop and look up in the sky and see the clouds they float over. Have you ever thought about how many tons of water's up there and it's still up there? I mean, serious. Look up to the sun, you can't even look at it because it's so bright. It burns with such heat. At night you look up and you see the stars, you see this big thing called a moon that doesn't know what size to have. One day it's big and full, the next day it's like a crescent. And God made all of that. And God made everything for us to live in and really to enjoy. When Paul wrote to Timothy, it's an interesting thing. He says, "Charge them that are rich in this world that they be not high-minded, nor trust in uncertain riches, but in the living God." And then he says these words, "Who giveth us richly all things to enjoy." They become enjoyable when we are putting our trust in God. He gave us a great place to live with marvelous things to enjoy. Though sometimes it's devastated because of our sin, its beauty and bountifulness still provides us all that we need.
though floods have ravaged our area, yet somehow, some way, God brings that back. And by the way, through those things, it seems like God is working against us, but he's really displaying to us his marvelous power. Isaiah said this, chapter 24, verse 20, the earth shall reel to and fro like a drunkard, and shall be removed like a cottage, and the transgression thereof shall be heavy upon it, it shall fall and not rise again. And he's letting us know, hey, listen, because of our sin, it has messed things up royally. And yet, we stop and we think about the Garden of Eden, how magnificent that was. And we have not the Garden of Eden, but yet we have a marvelous beauty all around us. I walked out of Cervantes the other night, and here's a big table. It's full of cactus. I hadn't noticed it, but somebody said, wouldn't that be something to see all those, they were in bloom, all those cactus out in the desert somewhere blooming. Normally think of a desert as deserted, someplace that nobody really wants to be. And yet there's a certain beauty in that. For years and years, we would travel across the state of Nebraska headed to camp, and I would think, I've got to go through hell to get to heaven. I thought it was a horrible place out there. And as I would go through, I would just, oh man, can we ever get through this state? Then one day, Charlie, I began to look. You know those sand hills are pretty? There's a beauty there. I lived in a beautiful spot out in Washington State. I could see the Olympic Mountain Range out my front door and the Cascades out my back. And it was a beautiful sight to see. But when God called us to come back here, and I drove into Iowa, something amazing transformed in the inside of me. I looked out those cornfields and I thought, man, that is beautiful. And what's more beautiful, I can eat them. I couldn't eat those trees. God's made such marvelous things for us. God's given us companionship. He's given us people. Now, some folks say, I'd be just as happy living as a hermit in a cabin and nobody around me. Yeah, who's going to fix you breakfast? By the way, no woman ever said that. We enjoy having people around, amen? One of the greatest times in our families, we get together Christmas time. I mean, for a week, sometimes 2 weeks. Everybody's at the house every night. They eat and they eat and they laugh and they act like ding-dongs. And sometimes they don't know how to leave, and my wife and I, we just go to bed. How marvelous it is. Brothers and sisters and cousins, and sometimes a few others that get into the mix. Companionship. God's given us emotions. You ever think about that? That we might sense his emotions, especially his marvelous love. God's creation. I mean, it's marvelous. And so as we stop and we behold these things, what's it help us to do? It helps us see that here's a God that made things for you and I that we might enjoy. He wants us to have the best. He created us with a spirit that can commune with him. My spirit beareth witness with his spirit. I can sense God speaking to my heart. Don't get carried away on that one. He takes his word and opens it to the heart and the soul. There's a marvelous sense that when you pray and God somehow just cements into your mind and you know God is going to answer that. I look back at Chris Bach and remember a number of years ago, He had an infection in the brain, and it was basically causing his head to explode. The doctors went in and they removed about a 50-cent piece out of the skull that it might be able to relieve the swelling. I remember so vividly that night, Chris, you weren't in there, but I met there, and your dad and your mom, and I don't know who else was there. I believe the Burgetts were there, and we began to pray. And I remember specifically as your daddy prayed with tears in his eyes to save his son, it came in my heart, God heard that prayer. I walked away from those few moments knowing somehow God was going to raise him up. And there he sits with his wife and children. We can commune with him. God's creations. But we'll stop and think about this. If there's something we need to see is not only what he's done and those things, but to see the very character of God. He's perfect. Wow. He's perfect. Everything we do and everything we touch, we can mess it up. I wanted to fix a little hinge on a cabinet that had broke. So I bought one, and of course I got the wrong one. So I'm going to make it work, because I'm too cheap and too lazy to go back and find another. So I went and got my little cordless drill and little screwdriver head, and I picked out a drill bit so I could make a pilot hole, put the screw in. And these particular group of drill bits, they got a little hex thing that can set inside of that, and it's not going to turn on you. I'm all set. I get over there, and believe me, it is tough now to get down on my knees and work on the floor. It's not hard to get down, it's hard to get up. And so I get down there, and I get everything ready and everything in position. I grab that bit, that drill bit, and somehow the end of it had gotten messed up, Quentin. I tried to push that thing in there and tried to push it. It had a burr or something on it. You know, if you have a mechanic book and it says it takes 2 hours to do the job, take it times three. We tend to mess things up. Isn't that true? I took it out in the garage, put it on a stone that I have, and tried to peel that thing down. And I worked on it and worked on it. Finally got it so I could get it in there. Did the job. Got up and down off the floor three times. Everything we touch messes up. Isn't that true? But he's perfect. He's pure. I can't even understand purity. It's beyond my comprehension. He's just. Not only is he just, but he's the justifier. Amen? And then he displays his love by the gift of his son. God's character. What do I want you to see? When you can really see God and understand the love that God has in your heart, you fall in love with him. I don't have to tell you, you got to do this, you got to do that, you got to do that. You want to do it. And it's, preacher, how can I do it better? What a great, great key we have here. God's character. I believe there's something else that I want you to notice too, and that is God's care for us. Well, we have a lot of adversities, don't we? We have death that comes to our family. We have disease that comes into our households. We have all these problems. And yet, did you ever stop and think about this? The only time that we see in the Word of God these words, Jesus wept. Where was it? At the tomb of Lazarus. What had happened? He died. What took place afterwards? He was raised up. He cares for us. Amen. You say, well, I've had some bad things happen to me. Did you ever read Romans 8:28? Huh? God says all things work together for good. Do you know that God never leads you astray? God never leads you into sin. God never leads you to do that which is wrong. God is good. Now, we don't always follow Him. We don't always do what He says to do and so forth. Really, that's because we don't really love Him at times. But when these things begin to overwhelm our souls, we love Him because He first loved us. That love constrains us to live for Him, not because we have to, not because we're supposed to, but because we want to. I've had asked to me a number of times, preacher, how are you called to preach? How do you know you were? I told somebody this yesterday. I sat in a class with about 40 young preacher boys. And the fellow who was teaching the class, he was a pastor, very wise man. And I loved to listen to him. And one day in that class, he said, how do you know you're called to preach? I was so glad that day that he went alphabetically and my name starts with S. That hit me and I thought, I don't know. And so he called on the guy with A. That'd teach him to have the word Abel in his name. And you know what the guy said? I don't know other than I just really want to. He went to the next guy and he said the same thing. And by the way, that was the very thing that came in my heart at the very beginning. Because I want to. He that desireth the office of bishop desireth a good thing. God puts a desire in there you cannot get rid of. I was told afterwards, if you can do anything else and be happy, better do it. God doesn't give everybody that desire. But when we love Him because He first loved us, He puts a desire into your heart to do for Him. Amen. Why? Because it's down inside. Yeah. What's my job? Oh, to show you how, yes, but to help you to love Him. All that He's done for us, all the creation, all the care, that's God's work. Amen. Let it sink in. We love Him because He first loved us. Father, today, sometimes your people, our love grows cold, grows indifferent. We lose our focus and we forget about how much you love us. And we don't see all that surrounds us. We don't see your character. We don't see your creation. We don't see your care. And Lord, I pray you renew that. That we might, if we're not now, fall in love with you all over again. And Father, I'm sure there's probably one at least in this room who have never experienced the love of God for salvation. never experience what John 3:16 teaches us, for God so loved the world that he gave, that whosoever believeth. Lord, thank you for your marvelous gift to us. And I pray this be a day that they receive that gift. Work and bless in our hearts and our souls, in Jesus' name.